Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Thanks for joining us today. You know, in Haggai, which how many times do you have somebody quote something out of Haggai? I don't even know if that's how you pronounce the book. But anyway, it says to consider how things are going for you now. We'll talk about that and other things here on New Life Live. Join us, 1-800-229-3000. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. Welcome to a special edition of New Life Live. This is Classic Friday, and all of our calls have already been taken and answered many, many months or years ago. We brought back some of the best. So welcome to New Life Live on Classic Friday.
I feel that I'm just there to fulfill his sexual needs.
Love does endure all things, but it doesn't enable all evil.
That's the big ugly. I was asking for the big ugly.
Women are thinking, if this doesn't work out, give me a call. But the
first, you just try to stop. But if that's not working, then it's time to put out the white flag and say, I surrender. I can't get this done.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud. Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. So did you do any considering in your life of how things are going, John?
I do that a lot.
Every day?
Well,
you know, it's called worry.
There's just kind of, I think there's two periods of doing that. There's kind of that, you know, the big picture pondering, you know, what's this all about?
Right.
And then there's the kind of the checking every day. Am I, you know, what do I need to tweak? Am I making it? Do I need to make a right angle here and that kind of thing?
You know, when Scripture says that all these things are being used to make you more and more like Christ, you know, I think that's one thing to consider. Like 10 years ago, was I more like Christ 10 years ago than I am today? Or are there certain things, certain motivations in me that are different today?
Think about it, too. The real brain damage is when you think about how the places where we're least like him are the places that require the most, like, jackhammering and being in the oven and all of that. So it's one way to look back at a year, for example, and look at your most difficult situations and the pressures that you were under and conflicts and this, that, and the other, and realize that some of those may, in the big picture, be a part of God's plan for molding you. So you look back at those and you go, gosh, did I use them or do I have to repeat that course?
Right.
That's scary, but it's a good thing to think about.
You know, the worst thing you can do about that is to focus on, are my circumstances better or worse? I just think that's a huge mistake.
That's right.
Because then happy people are happy because their circumstances are good, and they're sad because their events in their life are sad. And then they're kind of hopeless.
You kind of ticker tape.
Yeah, and then it's just going to repeat itself.
You know how the Holy Spirit kind of lights up certain words, passages, and things where somebody else could read the verse and go, yeah.
Lights up. Now, there's a good way of saying illuminating. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nobody knows what illuminating means. You hear that word all the time.
And, you know, when I'm reading, and I've been reading the Old Testament more than the New Testament recently, but in 1st and 2nd Peter, this is pretty big, too. Pride and arrogance. I mean, these words just, they jump out. God standing against the prideful and arrogant and wanting us to be humble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he'll do
Sodom
a lot.
In that, huh?
Boy, isn't that the truth?
Yeah. What a metaphor.
The cool thing about that is, you know, it's easy to look at that and say, well, he doesn't like that. I heard one person say, well, it's because he wants to be number one and he's kind of jealous, which he wants to be number one, but it's not because he's prideful. It's because reality works so that if we're not prideful, life works better for us. I think when he stands against pride, it's for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's a horrible way to live.
Right.
Well, he's pretty connected to reality. I mean, if you're Peyton...
Saddam or God?
God, no. Okay. If you're Peyton Manning and your kid runs out on the field, his last play of the Super Bowl, says, Dad, let me throw the pass. I mean, what do you say? Look, you know, we'll play later. Just get in your right spot. I need to do this.
Later.
That's not pride. It's just connected to reality.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with your phone calls.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That number again is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
I've had a weight problem my entire life. I learned to use food as something to comfort myself. Subconsciously, I was hoping for a magic wand. I had tried various things. I tried 12-step programs. None of those approaches were quite like what I heard at Lose It for Life.
You can lose weight and keep it off for life, but it involves more than just the latest fad diet or exercise machine. If the underlying emotional, spiritual, and physiological issues aren't addressed, the weight returns. The next Lose It for Life workshop is January 22nd through the 24th in Dallas, Texas. To find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
My whole mentality completely shifted. I wasn't so concerned anymore about what I weighed. I was more concerned with making healthy choices. It hasn't been the same since.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Artimer here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, just talking about all the interesting things God throws our way. Hey, we've got tips for you. 6 steps to leave your baggage in the past. Some of you are carrying the baggage. Don't do that. And our resource is an audio
tape. Some of us are the baggage.
Yeah. Some of you are baggage to other people. Get a grip. Leave Your Baggage Behind is an audio tape by Henry Cloud. You'll love this. That's our resource. And for those that support the ministry, our brand new New Life coffee mug, and I'd love to hold one up to the microphone, but we don't have one yet. But we'll have one. All right, let's go to our phones, and let's talk to Craig. He's calling all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, WNIV. Craig, how you doing?
Hi, good morning, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Good, great. I got to talk to y'all before earlier this year. This is a great show, and this has been a great opportunity. But I got
earlier this year?
Yeah, I think I talked to John and Steve. Y'all seem very interested.
No wonder you have to call back.
Yeah. Well, I got a 19-year-old.
Craig, Henry's here now. We'll try to wrap it up for you.
Okay, Henry.
Yeah, I'll give you the real answer.
Let's see if you can wrap this up. No, y'all are interested. I had a 19-year-old that supports this ministry, and y'all just seem fascinated, wanting to know why a teenager would want to support New Life. And it was a real interesting call. What I got today is I'm trying to understand. I suffer from a lot of mood swings, and we've got some psychiatric disorders.
Who's we?
Well, the whole family, but I'm the ringleader. And, me personally, seasonally, when I'm sliding down into this pit and I can't seem to get a grip or a toehold on anything to stop the slide, then I'm like wondering, you know.
Seasonally it happens?
Well, it's year-round. Seasonally, it's the worst. I'm diagnosed with borderline personality disorder and all the junk that goes with it.
Character disorders don't tend to be seasonal.
Well, mine has a seasonal element. It's chaos all year round, but it's extremely difficult to function October, November, and December.
Is that because the structure of life changes?
Yes.
Because that can do some stuff.
Yes. It just gets very unmanageable. I just like drop out of life. But when you're going into the pit and you're trying to stop yourself from falling, I mean, when it gets really black, you know, where's God in all this? I mean, I don't understand how Jesus integrates into my Christianity or how Jesus integrates into mood swings. I mean, where is he? When I can't help myself, when I can't get out of bed, when I can't do anything, when I don't feel like praying, when I don't feel like there's a God, when I don't feel like there's any hope. Mm. And then with the mood swings in general, I mean, how do I tell if it's the Holy Spirit or if it's Prozac or just a mood swing? I don't understand. When I change, I don't understand. Was that a legitimate experience with God or was it just another mood swing? I don't know. I really don't know. How do you tell?
Craig, you've described a lot of different stuff, and a lot of what you're describing is really fruit.
And so it is hard to tell what produces fruit sometimes if it's kind of a random occurrence like you're describing, right?
Yeah.
Because you're talking about, you know, things like depression and darkness and, you know, the absence of joy and don't feel like anybody loves you and those kinds of mm-hmm. of results, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we can't ever judge anything like that. That's kind of the story of the book of Job, that if you just looked at kind of the results, you end up asking exactly what Job asked, well, God, where are you?
Yes.
You know, and your question is kind of the age-old question in some ways. So I think if we go from, it's sort of like John was saying a minute ago, if we go from the results backwards, that's really not the way to go. The way to go is to begin to look at a more proactive way, the way the Bible describes to live. And if what we do know about, for sure, where God integrates into emotional problems, is that emotional problems, by and large, are caused by breaches in relationship and breaches in the structure of life, the living life according to, you know, the way that God has designed it. And what I bet you is true is that in that season, those two things break down for you.
Yes.
So what I would go back to doing is making sure proactively that you start to prepare, you know, in about September or August, okay, this time of year, my connectedness with people diminishes because schedules change. My structure in life diminishes because, you know, it gets blown up because the holidays do that. So I need to proactively begin to design a life like God talked about that has relationship, connectedness, and the proactive structures, getting together specific times with people for support, doing certain things and being empowered to do those by my support system and by God and staying in His Word and all those, you know, very structured things. And then you won't have the problem. But as long as you're looking at the result as the sign of God, man, that's, the Bible warns against that, because I heard somebody say not too long ago, you know, it's a lot like a football game. God never promised we'd be leading at halftime. Promised we'd win the game. So at any given day, if we look at how things are going, you can be Joseph in a prison or you can be Jesus in a tomb, but that's not the end of the story. We have to be kind of in His path.
You know, Scripture says exactly what you were saying, Henry. Says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. And it's just the toughest thing, that the way to peace is not our way. It's not based on how we feel, but it really is just doing what God has asked us to do.
Plus, there is a thinking that when somebody has something like what Craig's talking about, borderline personality disorder, it's a, you know, you've got it forever, you just have to manage it and cope with it, and that's not the nature of fruit. Or, you know, fruit changes as the elements of healing and growth and grace are applied to it. And so in time, when those elements that Henry was talking about are done and Craig's, you know, been able to receive them and deal with them, then the swings get different, the changes of season get different, all that.
Where did the big myth come from that, because you hear this a lot, that borderline personalities or narcissistic personalities can't be helped?
I don't
where
know.
Where did that, how did, because we get that a lot, you know, people say that, and with mm-hmm. the... That's just not true.
Not true.
Transformation is possible for even narcissists and borderline personality disorder.
Absolutely. I mean, we see it all the time.
Where
research documents it, where God's ways are put into place.
So much that they are no longer that diagnosis.
Right.
You don't have to say, I'm a borderline forever. You can say, I used to be, but I went through God's process, mm-hmm. and now I'm no longer that.
It's just hard going through the process.
Yeah.
Not as hard as it is for those who are taking, you know, the heat of all that, like right. family and friends.
Right. All right. Well, we're glad you called. Let me send you the New Life coffee mug. That is our gift to those who support this ministry, and hope that's helpful to you. You know, there's some good books about borderline personality. Walking on Eggshells is one of them. I can't think of the others, but anyway, there's some good books out there.
There's one about some kind of ambivalent topic, like I hate you, don't leave me, or something like that.
Oh,
what is
yeah.
that one?
Mm-hmm. That's it. I hate you, don't leave me.
Okay.
All right, I won't. Okay, let's go to
fine.
Holly, and she's calling from Kearney, Nebraska. KROA is the station. Hi, Holly.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Thank you for taking my call, and I just really appreciate you guys. I try to listen almost every day, but this is my question. I'll try to explain it a little better, but I had an eating disorder in college, and
which one?
I kind of had the anorexia and bulimia, mm-hmm. kind of both of them. Exercised a little bit too much and that sort of thing. But anyways, I had gotten help for that, and now I have a 5- and a 3-year-old. And like I know the logistics of a good eating habits, but I'm just not sure how to instill that the proper way of choices, basically, into them.
You know, somebody that's had an eating disorder, I think the biggest dilemma for them is they're so afraid their kids are going to have it too that they put too much focus on the food, either right. good or bad, and it kind of becomes too frequent a topic of conversation versus yeah. just going to the store, buying healthy food, setting the example, eating healthily yourself.
Yeah, there's just a few simple rules, Holly, but I would add one to it. One is exactly what Steve said. Don't have the junk in the house, period. You know, okay. if your kids want snacks, fine. You know, uh-huh. pretzels or something that's, you know.
Okay.
Hold on a second. But secondly, here's what I think you should do. It's like we have to do in parenting where all of our issues come into play. You have to be around other parents that don't have eating disorders and watch how they handle mealtime and how they handle food, because you're going to be very subjective about this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example from my own life. I've got, you know, little bitty kids, 3 and 1.5.
Uh-huh.
And I am impulsively, by nature, just way inclined to be physically overprotective, like when they're climbing around and doing stuff. Because as a child, I had, a pretty severe physical disability. I was in a wheelchair and in braces. And I am desperately afraid sometimes that they're going to hurt themselves. And I have to restrain myself. And basically, I've learned that from being around other parents who don't have my same problem. And so they're not overprotective like that. And gradually over time, as you kind of see how normal people do it mm-hmm. in your area of weakness, you begin to get more normal. And I just don't think you can, as an eating disordered person, depend on your own subjectivity, which is actually why you called. It shows a lot of self-awareness, and that's a good thing.
Okay. Right. Well,
Holly,
thank you.
I hope that's helpful. And if you'll hold on, we'll send you the New Life coffee mug, too.
Thanks a lot.
And hope you have a great year this year.
Thanks. You guys, too.
God bless you. All right. Anybody interested in our resource, Leave Your Baggage Behind. It's an audio tape by Henry Cloud, and we've got free tips, 6 steps to leave your baggage in the past. Those are at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and newlife.com. We'll also tell you about our Alaska cruise. Hope that you'll make plans, budget now, to include this, because it really does help our ministry, and we think it's going to be a time of great transformation for everyone that goes. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll tell you all about that. Let's talk to Rochelle, who's calling from Hayward, California. Hi, Rochelle. Hello. Welcome.
Thank you. You know, first I have to confess, my middle name is Rochelle, and I'm in Oakland, and, you know, it's a little unsure. Like,
it's okay. you can say you're Buck Rogers.
Okay.
Whatever you want to say. You don't have to give your real name.
Oh,
Actually,
okay.
A couple of places where we're broadcast, there are only 3 people in the town. So
they're all named Rochelle.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll try to give you a brief overview just to kind of lay the background. But basically, I got married in October of 2001. 3 weeks later, got pregnant, had a son in August of 2002. I also have a daughter from a previous relationship.
How old's your daughter?
She's 9. Then we bought a house, and then April of this year, I basically lost my job, so my ability to really earn income kind of flattened out. Mm-hmm. I've been struggling in financially since then. And then a tax bill that I had been paying that I had from before my marriage kind of came up and reared its ugly head because I fell, into default. So in the meantime, these are all the things that's happened. Mm. And last September, my husband told me that he didn't want to be married anymore. He doesn't love me. He's not attracted to me. He says the marriage is over. And I'm kind of in this space. I know that I've failed in some areas. And to give a background on both of us, I know I've failed, and I haven't lived up completely to all that God calls a wife to be. But my husband, from the onset of our relationship, too, I just felt so abandoned because, he kind of had the mindset, well, I'm going to continue living the way that I've always lived. And
right.
I feel like I've always been last on his list. Everything and everyone else comes before me. But I love my husband. I know God hates divorce. And
well, Rochelle, hold on a little bit.
Yeah.
And we've got to go to a break, and we'll help you when we get back. We're very sorry you're going through that. Know it's tough. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To make a tax-deductible gift or to order any of the products mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud. We're talking to Rochelle, and about last September was told her husband's not in love with her and wants out. And so, Rochelle, what is the question for us? And we're so sorry you're going through all that.
Yeah, I mean, he's been sleeping on the couch, too, since Thanksgiving.
Why is he still there?
Huh?
He says he wants out and didn't want to be married anymore, but he's still living there?
Yeah, he's still living here.
Why?
But he just sleeps on the chair. Why is he still here?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I guess because he pays the mortgage. So I don't know why, but, I mean, I'm trying to figure out, I've been holding strong, I've been in prayer, and basically, I just don't know, do I stay and bear with it?
I mean, what is there to bear with? Is he open to working on it?
No, he won't. I mean, we went to one counseling session with my pastor, and I mean, he's not interested in doing any counseling.
Is he saying, I want to live the rest of my life on this couch, not acting married to you?
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that, Rochelle?
Pretty much.
Well, what does that mean, pretty much?
I mean...
Or is he saying, I'm staying here for a while and I'm going to leave, or you're going to leave?
I don't know if he's going to leave. I mean, you know, he said that once I come to my senses and accept that it's over, then we can talk about what we're going to do from there. But I guess until then, he's just going to sleep down here on the chair. And, I mean, I've been holding on because, you know, I believe that I know that God hates divorce and that sometimes we have difficulties in marriage and we need to work on it. But I guess if it's one-sided.
Well, yeah, it always takes two to work it out. But what you can do is kind of figure out the best stance to take, which would move him off the couch.
Yeah, yeah. Rochelle, if his stance is, well, when you come to your senses, then there's an answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
That it will help you to have a little more control of the situation, which is, well, if I'm out of my senses, then I think I need, and you need, for me to make that decision to come to the realities that you'd like me to, a third party. And I don't mean just a one-session thing.
Right.
So I'm going to insist on, you know, us going to see somebody.
Right. And that's what I've told him.
And what's his response?
He says, well, you know, you can schedule and you can go, and you can't make me go, basically. He's like, well, you know, because we had seen our pastor, and our pastor had set up for us to go.
What is he getting from you now?
In what regard?
Every regard. You talk to him?
I speak to him.
You cook for him?
You shop for him? You feed him?
Not really, because, I mean, since I'd been struggling financially, I mean, he basically has all the income. I don't really have money to shop or to do much. I mean, you know, he takes care of the major household things, but, you know, I've been having to get help from my mom just to keep gas in my car, you know, buy groceries so I can, you know, make meals, you know, for my children. He buys general food to bring into the house. It's not necessarily always what I want to feed to my children.
So he's in total control.
Right. He's pretty much living like a bachelor, and he just kind of has some, you know.
And a housekeeper.
And the 9-year-old is yours or his?
The 9-year-old is mine, and then we have a 17-month-old.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rochelle, I think the first thing you got to do is look reality square in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Because reality is that you're, it sounds like, with somebody who doesn't have a lot of impetus to make any choices one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's okay with what it is. So I think if you were taking a strong look at reality, what you can do is dial the clock forward and look at next January 05.
Mm-hmm.
And say, this is where we'll be if I don't do something?
Right.
Okay. Have you accepted that?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, is this where you want to be next January?
I love my husband. I'd like to be with him, but I don't want it to be like this.
Well, but we're not talking about into what we wish were true.
Right.
What we're talking about is what is. Okay?
Right.
So what is it looks like that if you continue to do exactly what you're doing, this is what you're looking at a year from now.
Right.
Okay? Now, is that what you want?
No.
Are you sure?
Meaning, what, how I'm living right now?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, it's really brutal. I mean, I've had some describe it as emotional abuse. I mean...
Well, it's not emotional abuse. Okay. It's a guy that's disconnected.
Okay.
Okay? So if you're sure this isn't what you want to be a year from now, that looks like what will happen if you do nothing. So then you have to ask yourself, all right, I don't want this. What are my other options? And your other options are to take a stance. If you don't think that, you know, time alone is going to change him, where you take a stance where you say, look, you know, I'm not going to live this way. I want a healthy life. Either put up or shut up. And you make the counseling appointment, and you go, and if he doesn't go, your job with the counselor is to figure out your next steps in life to make him feel the effects of his choices.
Okay.
He's not feeling any effects right now. And sometimes when a guy kind of halfway wants to be single, but halfway wants a cushy sort of marriage that doesn't bother him, you know, you start to arrange that in a way where he really is on his own and without you and without the kids and all of that, then it starts to feel a little different. But right now, he's kind of got sort of the cake and eat it too, but it's not really a cake and it's not really eating it too. But that's comfortable for him. Mm-hmm. And I think You got to go a different step.
All right, we'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That number again is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
It just became part of my being for so long that so much of the enjoyment in my life was centered on food, and I had to get away from that. I figured about the first day or so that there would be something there that would really help with the situation. I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was when I was out there in May, and couldn't be asking for better. I'm getting ready to order my third round of clothes. And I have been this low before, or lower, and everything that I lost came back and brought friends with them.
You can lose weight and keep it off for life, but it involves more than just the latest fad diet or exercise machine. If the underlying emotional, spiritual, and physiological issues aren't addressed, the weight returns. The next Lose It for Life workshop is January 22nd through the 24th in Dallas, Texas. To find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I see a different person now than I used to see.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. And we want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDared.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an every man's battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
We're glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud. They are the authors of all the Boundaries books and God Will Make a Way, and many, many others that you can get at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's where the resources are. And when you purchase resources there, it supports this ministry. So we appreciate it when you do. Well, let's go to Janet in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. She listens to WBYN. Hi, Janet. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Listening to other persons, I've kind of figured out that some of my daughters, that's the reason I'm calling, is I have very high anxieties, fear, frustration, anger for my 28-year-old daughter who blessed us with her first child out of wedlock 6 years ago, and we have recently found out that she has another child due in April.
Blessed us is somewhat sarcastic?
Somewhat, yeah.
So you're really upset?
I am, yeah. I am very upset. This was a girl who went to church and Sunday school every Sunday with us, and went to a Christian school, and I have such disappointment, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't like feeling disappointed in your kids.
Yeah. Do you think it makes you look bad, Janet? Do you look at it that way?
Yes, I would have, yeah, in all honesty, you know. There are just limited people in our congregation who know.
Mm-hmm.
For that very reason, you know, it's not something that I'm proud of. She and Jasmine lived with us for 6 years, and when she informed us that she was pregnant again, we told her that she would have to move out. and they just did that in October.
So who's around her? Who's supporting her through this?
We have an organization here, Community Services. I can't say enough good about it.
Right. Well, tell us what your question is.
Okay, my question is how does one get over the anger of? I've gotten over lots of anger in my past. My husband has a mental disorder. Deep depression from time to time. He's on Respital.
Were you angry at him for being depressed?
No, I wasn't.
Janet, anger has...
No, but you said you've had to get over a lot of anger, and then you mentioned him. What did you mean?
I guess there's just a lot of stuff that I've had to deal with.
Anger, Janet, refers to a transgression, a response to a transgression against us sometimes.
Okay.
And so tell us how your daughter's out-of-control life is a transgression against you.
Just by not doing the right things?
That has to do with your dreams and your hopes and your wishes for her.
For her, hopefully.
But she didn't do anything against you by a life that's a problem. And
you
so,
don't think so? You don't look at everything that, the way that you brought them up?
Yeah, you look at it that way if the child is an investment in your being seen as a good parent. But I hope that you wouldn't look at her that way, that she's... That the reason you've put all that time into her so that she can reflect back on, your qualities as a parent, that'd be...
I want her to be happy and...
Okay.
Well, then you would be...
Feel some self-worth.
Okay.
But if a child is unhappy, you would feel empathy for her, not anger.
And sad because of... Sad for her situation, but not that she's done something against you. This is,
and I just got to say too, here are two instances where the easy thing for her in your small community and with your feelings about all of this would have been to have an abortion, and especially when she saw how angry you were over the first one, she would tend to could have easily had an abortion with the second one, and yet she has done, I believe, the most courageous thing in the midst of her transgression.
Exactly. Janet, let me tell you what I think is going on, is that you are deeply, what we would call, identified with your daughter's success or failure in life as reflecting on you, and that your cart kind of tied to her star. And as the star falls, then you feel really bad. And what I would do is I would depersonalize all this. Disconnect the cart and love her and say, how can I support her? And,
but it's her life.
Right, but I want to give her her life. And I would say that this is not about me, Janet. This is about me feeling sad things didn't work out that way, but how can I be helpful to her life? And that solves a lot of the anger. The anger will stay there as long as it's about you. But if you can make it not about you, but about you as a family pulling together to do the right things, then that, what it turns into? The anger turns into grief and sadness, and then productive actions and steps and structures.
What does that feel like?
I hear what you're saying.
What does it feel like?
It feels like something that I should be doing.
Well, that's
and I think I have been.
Well, no. That's not what it feels like. That's what you think about it. You think, okay, that's a good idea and I should be doing it. But what does it feel like in your gut when we say, look, Janet, she's an adult, this is her life, and it's very sad that she's got some stuff to deal with, but it's about her. What does that feel like to you?
I know that. I know that that it's her life. I mean,
that's what you know. What does it feel like?
I guess I feel like I have failed.
Okay, it still hurts. Let's talk about that, okay? Because that we want to help you get out of that position. See, if her choices mean that you have failed, there's a bunch of problems with that. One is your life's going to be a roller coaster because obviously she's impulsive and out of control. And so your feeling good about life is going to be kind of connected to somebody who's out of control of life. And that's just that's the codependent nightmare, mm-hmm. right? But secondly, if y'all are kind of connected like that, where she has control of how you feel, then she's also probably not too, you know, connected to the idea of self-control either, because she has a lot of other control going on, and that leads to impulsivity. So I think one of the cures for your daughter as well as for you is for you guys to get appropriate boundaries on her. You know, she's responsible for her life. And I'll give you some passages to read. Ezekiel 3 would be a great one, where it talks about I think it's 3. I'll have to look it up. I'll say it later in the show. It may be later in the book. But it says, basically, God says, look, if a righteous man lives a certain way and his, you know, offspring chooses another way, then it's the offspring's problem, not the parent, mm-hmm. and vice versa. And God wants generational lines for each person to be responsible for their own behavior. And that'll release you from this.
Janet, did I hear you say that you were sad about them not living with you, your granddaughter not being there?
Yeah. See, another part of it, because there's two children now that instead of before there was one and we helped her, we were the second parents.
You can always ask them back. You can always decide that maybe the inconvenience of two is not as great as feeling disconnected from both.
I've got a good friend who often takes in her two grandchildren out of wedlock and spends time with them. They have grandma night, and she's a big part of their life. She's single, by the way. She doesn't even have a husband. And
we do that. Jasmine comes and we have, you know.
That's good.
Those are the answers we're talking about. Mm. That solves the anger problem.
Well, let me send you John and Henry's book, God Will Make a Way, and I hope that'll be a great blessing to you. We appreciate your call. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live. To order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The boys will be right back.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity, impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed that if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the boys.
We're back. Stephen Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Henry Cloud, and reminding everybody about the Lose It for Life Institute coming up. Really think you're going to enjoy this, and you've heard the stories and the testimonials from others. It really can make a huge, huge difference in your life. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE about the Lose It for Life Institute. Let's go to Wendy in Dallas, Texas. She's calling from KWRD. Hi, Wendy. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. Thanks a lot for taking my call. I've read all your books, all three of you guys, and they've helped a lot.
Well, great. Thank you.
The issue that I'm facing right now, and I identified with one of the previous callers that was that had a husband that was, you know, not connected, and I've gone through that.
You mean the one on the couch?
Yes.
that's a little more not connected.
Only mine was at the sports bar drinking with buddies. Mm. But basically, I've been married for 18 years. I have three girls, ages 9, 12, and 15, and I was diagnosed with breast cancer 2 years ago, went through chemo and radiation, and I'm doing good, but it did put an emotional strain on us. For the last 6 months or year or so, actually more than 6 months, it's just gotten harder and harder to relate to him. So, and he actually would go out with his friends and leave me at home to take care of the kids while I'm, you know, weak and struggling.
Recuperating. Hmm.
Yeah, and it was tough, but I didn't want to be that naggy wife because I've been there and done that. And in fact, your book Boundaries really helped a lot because I have been very codependent and thinking that...
Were you able to make the connection between nagging and confrontation, appropriate confrontation, Wendy? Or did you just kind of stop saying anything confrontational at all?
That was probably it. I was going through a major life change, and I had my issues to deal with. And
because the Bible teaches us we're supposed to also warn each other.
Yeah.
You know, so go ahead.
Well, the thing is that 6 months ago, I came home and found some emails on this computer where he had written to another woman saying, I think I'm falling in love with you, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And he was out with her until about 3 in the morning. And when he came home, I confronted her. And of course, I'm very upset. Just because of my situation. And he shoved his fist in me, called me some very ugly names.
Shoved his fist in you?
Placed his fist with his middle finger extended against my neck and pushed.
Wow.
You know, it wasn't a hit or a sock. But, and then when I ran to the bedroom to, you know, say, I'm scared, you're threatening me, he came behind me and said, you know, I'll show you threatening. So... And not that he's ever had a history of doing that, because he's not. But he has been verbally abusive, you know, calling me stupid at times, I'm wrong.
Wendy, I think we get the horrible picture. Okay. What's your question before we run out of time?
He moved out 6 months ago after he spent the night in jail and has been angry at me ever since. I've suggested counseling. He has put conditions on counseling. First, I had to sign papers to get the charges dropped. Okay, well, that was taken care of. Now he's saying, no, your attorney wants inequitable distribution of assets for the divorce. I just think you're greedy.
Hmm.
And so now I'm not going to go see counseling until you sign a paper saying I want equal distribution of assets. So I'm torn because he will bring up the fact, well, you say you're a Christian and you're so greedy.
Uh-huh.
And my lawyer's saying, look, you don't know if you're going to have a relapse of cancer.
Yeah, Wendy, is your question...
My question is... He wants 50% of the assets, and because I'm saying no to that, I think it should be more 60-40, and that's what my lawyers say the judges will most likely say. He's thinking ill of me, and he's using my children against me, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know what the Christian thing to do is to turn my cheek and look the other way and just say, fine?
Well, the Bible does teach us there are times we're supposed to turn our cheeks so that we don't take revenge on people and extract restitution from them, and that's
right?
Certainly a part of the picture. But the big picture that the Bible teaches is about love, ownership, and stewardship, Wendy. And you have a stewardship to your three girls, responsibilities to them, and also responsibilities to take care of your medical things so you can be alive for them. So I think that you're, and we write about this in the Boundaries book too, that you're making a there's a confusion in your mind between selfishness and stewardship. Mm-hmm. When you take care of those things God has given you to manage, children, your health, your life, your welfare, those aren't being selfish. Those are taking, you know, you're the storekeeper that you're going to hand those things back to God one day and say, here's what I did with your investment. So you go with whatever is right and just with the officials and experts in your life, lawyers and judges, but don't interpret what you're doing as being selfish. And by the way, don't give power to someone who already thinks ill of you and wants out and, you know, don't let that change your mind about what's right and wrong.
No, and don't succumb to the pressure that's put on by throwing your faith up in your face. And here's, you just look, listening to what you're going through, Wendy, and the fact that you both disagree about distribution, it seems to me this is a case where perhaps a wise judge should be the one to decide this, what is fair and what isn't.
We tried mediation a couple of days ago.
Yeah, that's good.
He, which is how I wanted to settle
it. But he's not going to agree.
He walked out on it because he wasn't happy.
Right. So now you have a reality.
See,
you have a reality.
He's not going to agree to something that's fair. So let a judge tell both of you what is fair.
Okay.
That's what I would. That's how I would do it in this kind of situation where the only way that you would settle it would be to agree to something that you really don't think is fair. And as John say, I don't think that's good stewardship. Anyway, hope that's helpful to you. Hold on, and let us send you John and Henry's book, God Will Make a Way. And boy, I have heard this so often of a woman getting cancer and a man leaving her in the midst of that adversity or having an affair. I know one situation where she was in the hospital and he had his first affair. And we really got to, I know it's not easy during illness, but that's when we've got to hang on tighter than ever.
That's what the vows say.
Yeah.
For rich or poor and for sickness and health. And, you know, if you're going through that right now and you're feeling like, gosh, I'm not as, you know, connected or whatever,
right,
that's a time to get around supportive community and say, help me with my heart. I want to be a spouse here.
Mm. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the place to call if we can help you. You know, we've got a lot of things, stuff for your younger kids, too. The Young Believer Bible and the devotional, 365-day devotional is there, along with Preparing Your Son for Every Man's Battle. And those are for kids 12 and under. We've got all of that along with the Boundaries books and God Will Make a Way and How People Grow, all of that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and newlife.com, along with all the Every Man's Battle books. So call us if you need a resource. Get it from us. We'll tell you about the Lose It for Life Institute, the Every Man's Battle and Every Woman's Battle workshops, the Alaska Cruise. All of that is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You know, John, I usually ask you to give a verse, but I was looking in Proverbs 18. The first verse, it says...
you had your quiet time earlier than I had.
I did. It says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desires and rages against all wise judgment. Boy, there is a great call for all of us to get out of our isolation. Don't seek our own desires. Seek the good for other people and make a connection, no matter how hard it is.
God designed us for relationship, and the best decisions are made when God and others are around you shining light on you.
Mm. We need that light. And so if you're tempted to isolate, be alone, disconnect, maybe this is a great day to call someone and say, hey, I just need a friend, or I just need somebody to take me to that meeting or go with me. Maybe it'll be the beginning of a great change. We'll be here tomorrow on New Life Live. Call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. We love you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but we also need you to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. That means we depend on your gifts to stay on the air, which is why your financial help is so important. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again next time for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.